gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, how can we ever thank you enough for the greatest of all your gifts to us, the gift of your Son, eternal and uncreated, to become our Redeemer, our sacrifice, our substitute, our Saviour. We all ponder and ask, how can we really begin to comprehend what Christ set aside in terms of all the riches and privileges of heaven in order to humble himself and become one of us, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, and in weakness to be tempted in every way just like us, yet without surrendering to sin. Yet you provide us with Christmas, and in this Christmas season we see something of the wonder of the coming of Christ, that he came to raise us above, that he was born like us that we might become like him, that he became a human child that we might become children of God. Lord, in this Christmas season, we also are accorded the privilege of sensing something of your love in Christ. For when we could do nothing to lift ourselves out of our sin into the glorious light of your presence, you, out of your merciful love, drew us to yourself in Christ to raise us and to take us home by faith. Merciful and gracious God, it's now our prayer that you will lead us by your Spirit, as you did the watchful shepherds, to hear again the news of great joy, and hearing to believe and rejoice and worship. Help us this Christmas night with the precious gift of faith to look into our Redeemer's face, to count ourselves as his followers, dead to sin, alive to God in Christ. This is our prayer in his name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing to God's praise now, a hymn that tells us all about the rejoicing in Christ. The rejoicing in Christ, number 183. Good Christians now rejoice in heart and soul and voice.
Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Thank you. So we gather again to review what caused Christmas to take place in the first place. The coming of sin, as demonstrated by the eating of the withheld fruit, the forbidden fruit, and then our Lord coming into the world because of that, to live that perfect, sinless life. And yes, I did get the order of things slightly muddled there. We could have sung the second song we sang there after Debbie's reading. So now, Julie, would you please come and read the second reading?
His miraculous conception predicted. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at this, at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her.
So the stain of sin, the coming of sin into the world, the Lord is aware of, and the solution is the virgin conception of his son in the womb of Mary's, in Mary's womb. And we're going to sing now 175, Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Place of his birth specified. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned by the time when who is in labour gives birth. And the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel."
There you have it, promise and fulfillment. Some 700 years between those two portions of Scripture, Micah 5 and Matthew 2. O little town of Bethlehem, number 180.
His nature is God's Son, fully revealed. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God,
Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
When we think of Christmas, we think of a birthday, and rightly so. And it is indeed our Lord's human birthday, but as those readings have reminded us, he had an eternal existence before he was born of the Virgin Mary at Christmas, which is an amazing thought to think, something to ponder in our hearts this Christmas time and every day of our lives indeed. Let's think of that as we sing number 179, and perhaps it'd be good to stand to sing this, Child in the Manger, number 179. Shepherds who in Narracourt terms would be like migrant workers working out at the meat works, people not necessarily the creme de la creme of society. The shepherds burst out in praise, singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." And more of their message and its significance tomorrow. Before I speak very briefly this evening, we're going to sing one more carol, remaining seated, while shepherds watched their flocks. Not washed their socks, but watched their flocks. 164. Remaining seated. Winchester Old. Thanks, Jean. Sorry. Okay, after two, we'll start. Especially those still hot days, about 30 to 35 centigrade or 90 to 95 on the old scale. Perhaps with just a little light breeze blowing so that you can smell the eucalypts and the pine trees wafting through the window. I know in the southeast that's a kind of probably a minority position to adopt, but I fess up to that. I do like it. Now, there's that well-known Aussie carol that pictures the scene. You can join in with this. The north wind is tossing the leaves. The red dust is over the town. The sparrows are under the eaves. And the grass in the paddock is brown. So far, that depicts the scene. And then, as we lift up our voices and sing to the Christ child, the heavenly king. Well, the red dust... The brown grass in the paddock, that's perhaps not such a welcome sight, but it's reality, isn't it? But our celebration of the Christ child's birth, the coming of the heavenly king into the world, definitely, that's a very special part of summer. Well, yes, I love summer for all sorts of reasons, but especially tonight and tomorrow is one of them, and cricket is the other. Now, for those of you who aren't cricket fans, well, you can substitute the tennis business, but it all seems hyped to me. And golf, well, yeah, it's all too visual. I can't really get into that. And as for the Sydney Hobart, oh, forget it. Go to sleep. But cricket, yes, in all of its forms, I'm a great fan. Always have been, whichever way it comes. There are two things I'm going to say tonight. The first thing is about what happened at Christmas, and it's a very basic thing. The Lord Jesus, the eternal God, came into the world and was born at Bethlehem. And what I'm saying is based on three verses from the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians. When the time had fully come, Galatians 4, verse 4 says, God sent his son, born of a woman, that is, the Virgin Mary, born of a woman, born under the law. Meaning, he came at the latter part of the Old Testament. And also, his birth was very ordinary. His conception, unique, miraculous, because there was no human father involved. But he was born according to natural laws. It took 9 months, and he was born in the usual way as well. But he was born under the Old Testament part of the scripture. Now, I could spend hours with you pondering and explaining the details of the events surrounding our Lord's birth, as the gospel writers do, and most of us, if not all of us, have heard many messages about it, and there's a lot going on this year. Even I've spent time in the messages this month detailing some of those things. The fact is, Jesus was born from the womb of the Virgin Mary for a definite purpose. And that's the second thing I've planned to say. Why Jesus came into the world at Christmas? Well, there are various reasons, but verses 5 and 6 go on to tell us one of the reasons. When the time had come, he was born of a woman, born under the law, verse 5, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Now, the Apostle Paul, of course, in writing to the region of Galatia and to these Christians to whom he wrote, I've dipped into chapter 4, he's writing to them and answering various questions. And he's speaking about the privileges that they have in being Christians. And he says, Jesus came to rescue us, to buy us back, to pay the price for our sin, which we could not pay ourselves. I mentioned cricket a few minutes ago. Now, fans in the summer, especially in an Ashes series, would appreciate getting a front row seat at an Ashes test. Any test, but a front row seat at an Ashes first day test. At the match, well, even the one that's gone at the Adelaide Oval, or on Thursday in Melbourne, I'm sure. Now, how would you like to be able to simply walk up to the turnstile at half an hour before play starts on that first day, present a bit of cardboard to the attendant, be admitted free and shown to a front row seat without parting with a cent? That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? It'd be a real treat. Well, if you are friends with a member of one of those grounds, or one of those clubs, it's a possibility. It could be reserved for you, and it would be possible. Well, that's a human example of what the Lord Jesus has done for people like me who've trusted him to redeem their soul. Of course, the day at the cricket is a very pale comparison to what our Lord has done for us eternally. But that's what being a Christian is. It's getting into heaven on the coattails of my Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't do it by myself because I don't deserve to be there. He's the member par excellence of heaven, of course. And he's made it possible through his membership to admit me. I don't deserve to be there, but because of who he is and what he's done, I can be there by trusting him and his righteousness. Our Lord Jesus, by living a perfect life in the world, which began with that virgin conception in Mary's womb and continued at his birth at Bethlehem, and is living a perfect, sinless life, resisting every temptation to sin. He had them all, but he resisted them all, and dying a perfect death at Calvary has now made it possible for those who come to him in genuine living, trusting faith to be welcomed into heaven. Wow, what a wonderful message. One day the cricket could be rained out. We could get bowled out by whether it's Swan or whether it's Broad or whoever, and we could go home very disappointed. But our Lord Jesus, without wishing to be trivial about it, never disappoints. What a wonderful gospel message to bring. Tied up, you see, as we've sung in that hymn just now, it all ties in. Christmas and Calvary, Easter and Christmas, they're all linked in inextricably because it's bound up in the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who came to be his people's Saviour and substitute. Wonderful truth indeed. He came to redeem, but then along with redeeming, which begins in my life when I trust in him and goes on into eternity, he came also to give us adoption rights so that in our lives now we can call out, cry out to our Heavenly Father in prayer and in daily relationship, Abba, Father. You know, that is a privilege. The world's religions know nothing of confident prayer. It's only the Christian faith that can boldly come to the throne of grace, to the God in heaven who sees us, who hears us, and who welcomes us in a living relationship to be able to pray with confidence. Not arrogance, not smugness, not self-assertiveness, but confidence nonetheless to say, Dear Lord, you know my needs. You know the joy that I'm experiencing today. You know the tears that I've shed just now. I come to you with all that I am, with all that I need. Daddy, help me. Thank you. Direct me. Make me a blessing. And all the whole range of emotions and expression that we would bring to our earthly parents. What a wonderful Lord to serve. I leave that with you tonight. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 6. He came that we might inherit, having been redeemed. Let's thank him in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this glorious message that I've been able to just scratch the surface of in a few moments tonight. Bless it to our hearts and draw us to your Son. Again, in gratitude and adoration and thankfulness this Christmas time. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to end tonight with the lovely carol 182, Silent Night, Holy Night. 182, let's stand to sing. through Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all today and forevermore. Amen.